Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading. I read two verses, especially as the text verses for the sermon, from Luke 2, the verses 16 and 17, where we read the holy and infallible word of the Lord as follows. Luke 2, verse 16 and 17. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The theme for the sermon is to find Christ. Three points of attention. The first point, to come with haste. The second point, to find in a manger. And the third point, to make known abroad. So the theme is to find Christ, 3 points, to come with haste, to find in a manger, and to make known abroad. Congregation, it happened that there was a soldier, and he had to go to fight in the war, but they had received the sad news that his father and his brother had died in the war. So he was the only male person that was left over at a farm with his mother and his sister. So he really felt, I cannot go in the war. I have to take care of the farm. My father died, my brother died in the war. So what he did is he was looking to talk to the president, to Lincoln. And he tried to get entrance, he tried to speak to Lincoln, but they wouldn't allow him to come in. When he knocked at the front door, when he spoke to the guards, they said, no, you cannot come in. The president is so busy. Don't you know that it is a time of war? How could you think that you just can come in and talk to the president? That's impossible. So he was very disappointed, and he walked away and sat in a park, and there he was, very sad and didn't know what to do. And there was a small boy there in that park, and that boy talked to the soldier and said, hey, how are you? What's going on? And he told to the boy what happened in his life and how sad and disappointed he was. And the boy said, come. And he took his hand and he took him not to the front door, but he took him to the backside, to the back door. And there he entered and walked in straight into the room of President Lincoln. And the president was there in the meeting and talking to people, and he looked up and said, hey, Todd, how are you? What's going on? He said, Father, here is a man. And he told the story. So this boy was the son of the president. And in this way, this soldier could come and talk to Lincoln, and then he received what he wanted. He received to be exempted from serving in the army, so that he could help his mother and provide for their living. It was so easy. The boy took him and he could enter. And it was impossible for him to come in and to talk to the president. And when I read this story, this history, then I thought about what God has done. That he has sent his son into this world, in a world lost in sin and guilt, and that there is a way opened in Christ to come to the Father, a way that we never could go in our own strength or in our own merits or good works, that God has given his only begotten Son, that the Lord Jesus Christ is born in this world, so that people that have closed the door by their sin, that have made it totally impossible to find an entrance to God, that they could, that they can be reconciled with God, that it is by the Son that people are received, sinners, and that sinners are lifted up out of their guilt and sin to be restored in that relation to God that they have lost in paradise. It's impossible from our side. Is that what you are struggling with this morning of Christmas Day 2015? That you experience in your life, oh, how can I come to God? It feels so impossible. It is like a wall that is in between, between God and my soul. Oh, there's such a darkness within. How can it be solved? Well, what you experience is real. That is true. Because the Lord Jesus says in John 6, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So people have to be drawn by God, and he is doing it in his Son, that he is reconciling such people in all their weakness and impossibility to himself. Oh, what a wonderful message for you that experience it's impossible. Yes, it is. Oh, I'm glad you see it, so that you will lose hope that you can ever make it in what you perform, in your own efforts, in your own wisdom, in your own righteousness, and that you will lose it all, and that you will be there before the Lord in your impossibility and cry for his grace, and that he will do it what you cannot do, like he was the one that was sending his Son into this world. So there is hope in my heart for the hopeless because of this message of Christ coming in a world lost in sin. What a miracle that this message was sent to the shepherds as the first ones to receive it. The shepherds, we might have very positive thoughts about them because we have seen what they did, that they would go to Bethlehem to find a child. But we have to know that in general, the shepherds in society where they lived in this time, they were despised. They belong to the lowest ones in society. They say that the shepherds were even not allowed to witness in court if there was a court case. They were scorned and despised among the people. And the reason could be that they couldn't keep, because of their occupation, they couldn't keep the laws of Moses like other people could do it. And another thing is that it is told that many of the shepherds wouldn't take it so carefully about the property of someone else. There would be amongst them that would steal, and so they were not allowed to witness in court. It's hard to believe, but that's what commentaries say, and that's how it seems to be in that time of history. So here we have some men that belong to this group of people, to the shepherds, that were despised, and God is sending this wonderful message of the birth of his Son in this world to them. They are the first ones to receive it. What is that teaching us? It's teaching us what grace is. That God is sending his Son in a world so full of darkness, and especially those that cannot find anything in themselves to boast in? Are they not most fit for grace? So the shepherds, they receive these glad tidings. So grace is something that is really without condition from our side. God has decided to save people. He has chosen them, and He is taking care of their salvation. And that's why it happens. So that's a hopeful message. That means if you see your own life like it really is, full of sin and guilt before God, if you cannot find anything that you can offer the Lord to be acceptable, to be received by God, if it seems to be impossible, then it's possible. If we still have hope that we can make it and can improve ourselves and work ourselves to such a level that, yeah, we might be so good that we can be saved, we are really at the wrong track. Then we seek it in the wrong direction and we will never find it. So God has to show us, God has to teach us that we have to seek it outside of ourselves, that we are in a situation that if it had to come from our side, it's desperate. And now this message is coming from God, that the Son of God is born in a world lost in sin, and God is sending His angel, which you could also translate as messenger, an angel to the shepherds. And if you think about those shepherds, despised as they are, and if you remember that the Lord Jesus calls Himself the good shepherd, and then you see how low the Lord Jesus came, how deeply He humbled Himself. And that was needed so that people like you and I could be saved. And now this message is coming to you this morning. I don't know all the things in your heart. I don't know all the things in your life. God knows. But I have seen many things in my own heart. And I know from the Word and from some experience that all hearts in a certain way are the same. That we all have fallen in sin and are inclined to do every sin, prone to do everything against God's will. So if you see that in your own heart and life, oh, remember this message. Remember that it was sent to the shepherds in their low position, in this dark night, and that the angel of God from heaven came to them. And this morning God is coming to you with His word. It's not by an angel, it's by a human being called by the Lord to proclaim the word. Not a perfect human being, certainly not. And Calvin says, why is God not preaching the gospel in this world by angels? Because there is a teaching of humility in it, that we should humble so that we receive this message out of the hands, out of the mouth of preachers that are not perfect. But still, it is God sending His word here this morning, that Christ is born in a world that is like in a dark night of sin and guilt, and that He was sending it like to the shepherd. And now, don't think that you are too far away from God. God knows how to bring you to Christ. There is a power in the Word to draw you out of your depravity, out of your corruption, and to bring you to Christ. Listen what happens to those shepherds when the angel is coming and proclaiming this message. Then it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. They have haste. They do not wait till the next day, but they come. Why do they come? Well, they have heard this message, and it has touched their hearts. Well, we have to see they believed these words. If they wouldn't have believed it, then they would not have gone. But they believe it, and they see that they need to be saved, that a Savior is born. Well, that's a wonderful message, and it can be believed. But if you do not see that you need a Savior, what is the glory in this message? What is the attraction? There's no drawing power in the word. If you do not see, if you are not convinced about your need, about your sin and your guilt, but those shepherds, they came with haste. They want to find this child that is born. You recognize that? Do you see how urgent it is that you come to Christ, that you find Christ? We live here on earth, our life. And when you are young, you think it's pretty long. Oh, I would like to be older. I would like to be grown up. Then I could do this and that and that and have this and that. When you grow older, or if you, like I can say, have passed, you could say, halfway of life, and then you start to think more and more about how short this life is. It feels like, you know, you climb a hill, and then somewhere you start to go down, and I feel that, yeah, when you go down, it goes faster and faster. You see, life is short, and oh, time is so precious. So there is haste to find Christ. There is an urgent thing. You cannot say, well, let us wait. It's so foolish if you delay, if you tarry, and if you do not like these shepherds and say, well, let us go and let us see what is proclaimed to us, what is told to us. So there is haste to find Christ. Do you see that? Do you see that this life is short? And this life, you can really say, is a preparation for eternity. It's taking a couple of decades, and then life is over. And it can be today, that is my last day. It can be tomorrow, that I have to pass on from this world. It can be one more week, one more month, maybe one more year, maybe 10 more years. It will not be longer than a few more decades. And then my life on earth is over. And it's the same with you, isn't it? In a certain way, we are all as old. And then we have to stand before God. And then God will ask us what we did with His Word, what we did with His Son, and what we did with the Gospel. And what would you answer? And then this morning will be remembered, this Christmas morning here in Grand Rapids, 2015. And if you would say, well, there's time enough. Children, if you would think, I'm still so young, let me wait. Why would you wait? Those shepherds, they came with haste. They didn't say, well, let's wait till it's light, till the new day is there. Or we cannot walk away from our sheep now. No. And what happened to the sheep? Well, Scripture doesn't tell us. But they found a way. Or they trusted the Lord so much that they could give it in His hands. And they came. They came with haste. So what is it in this life that would stop you, that would hinder you from finding Christ. If you have heard, and you have heard it, how many times did you hear it, that you need him for your soul? How many times is it preached and proclaimed to you that without Christ you perish? You perish for eternity, and that in him there is a way open to be received by God. So, did you come to him? Maybe you say, well, what does it mean to come to Christ? I don't know. I hear it many times, but I don't understand. I cannot go to Bethlehem to find him there. Or he is not in this world now as a human being like he was before. That's right. So let us try to listen to what the Word is teaching us about coming to Christ. What does it mean? To come to Christ? What does the Lord Jesus say to the Jews and the Pharisees in his days? Well, he says that they do not want to come to him, which means they do not want to believe in him, to trust in him. Well, maybe you say, well, but what is it to trust in Christ, to believe in him? Does it mean that you believe that it is true, is written in Scripture? I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ was in this world 2,000 years ago, and that he died upon the cross. I believe that he resurrected from the dead and ascended to heaven, that he is in heaven as that high priest that is praying. Is that what you mean? Oh, it's important that you know these things. It's important that you do not just say, like some people say, well, those things were in the mind of the disciples, but he didn't really resurrect from the dead. It's important that you see that that is a lie. He resurrected and he ascended, and that you believe it. But is that all? Or is there more? There is certainly more in coming to Christ, in finding him. It's not only that you believe that it is historically true, but a real and true and living faith is that your heart, that you surrender your heart to the Lord, that you really kneel down before him, and that you pour out your heart before him, and that you cry out to him and say, oh Lord, I'm lost because of all my sins against thee. I deserve thy punishment, but be merciful unto me, be gracious unto me, O Lord, save me. And that you confess your sin. So it's important that you see sin is not something that my neighbor has done. That might be true, that will be true and is true, but it's about me. I have sinned against God. I deserve the wrath of God. And that you kneel down, and that you see there's only one way, and that is in Christ. And that there in your heart there is that hope, that light of Christ starting to shine. There is that trust that he certainly will not turn away those that come to him, that he will not cast out those that flee to him to be saved, and that you find rest and peace in him, in his work, in what he has done, in his words, to find Christ, to come with haste. And maybe you say, well, but pastor, be careful, because faith is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God. Yes, you're right. You're right. That is so true. And that is such a deep comfort when you experience your unbelief. Oh, that you would kneel down before the Lord and say, Lord, I do not find faith in my heart. But I read in the Word that it is a gift of God. Oh Lord, work faith in my heart by the Holy Spirit. So why would you delay? Maybe you say, yeah, but I enjoy the things of this world so much. And sin is giving me pleasure. I wouldn't like to perish, but I wouldn't also like to get rid of sin because I enjoy it. Well, that's honest that you say that. That is horrible. That's terrible. So now you say that that short time of the pleasure of sin is more important for you than the eternal glory with Christ and the glory of God, that He will be honored and praised. Oh, yeah, but it's just how it is in my heart. So I cannot change my heart. I know. So here is another thing that you have to confess before the Lord. That you have to kneel down and say, oh Lord, this is how my heart is. Change my heart so that I will trust in Christ and that I will be saved. Is God not able to do it? He certainly is. Has He not given many promises in His Word? When you sincerely come to Him in such a way that He is working all those things in your heart that you couldn't work. Salvation is from the Lord. He has sent His Son into the world to provide in everything that is needed for my soul. They come with haste and they find Him. Oh, how many promises are there in the Word that those that seek Him will find Him. And they find Him in a manger and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So, a trough to feed the animals in the most humble and low position. That is where they find Him, against all fleshly and worldly expectation. That is how Christ is found by the shepherds. But according to the word of God sent by the angel had told them. So, what an important teaching. They find Christ according to the word, but opposite to human expectation, to find a Savior, to find a King, the Son of David, in a manger. Yes, that's how it happens. Isn't that true? That God is working in a way in our hearts that we afterwards say, well, my expectations were so different. When Naaman had to be healed from his leprosy, he came to Israel, he came to the prophet, and he had thoughts about it. He had a lot of money with him, and he thought he knew how he would be healed. He would pay for it, of course. And the prophet would come out and lay his hands upon him, and that's how it would go. And that didn't happen. Just a servant of the prophet came out and told him to wash himself 7 times in the river Jordan. And then he became very angry. Why? It's told to him how he can be healed. He didn't like it. Why not? Well, he had his own expectation. He had his own thought. He would pay for it, certainly. He would pay a lot of money for it. And it would go in a way that would be impressing. Didn't go that way. So he was ready to turn away, to go home, and to continue to be sick and to die in it. Why? Because of his foolish pride. Isn't that what happens to many people? They have in their mind how it has to happen if they find Christ. And God is doing it in His own way. He is doing it in a way that no flesh will boast in itself. That there is no glory for man, but God will receive the glory. So he will cut off our thoughts and our payment and do it in a way that we will rejoice in God. Like Naaman did afterwards. His servant talked to him, and so at last he went there, and it happened. So God is bringing salvation in this world. In his way, they found the child in the manger, the most humble way. And God is working in such a way that we would not have expected that it would go that way in our life. But he knows the way that we need to bring us low, to bring us as the feet of Christ, so that we will lose all boasting in our own righteousness and in our own knowledge and expectation, and that we will see this is the work of God. This is what God has done in my life. Oh, how deep did Christ come down to seek sinners in their poverty and debt. They find him in a manger. You are not too deep in sin, too deep in addiction, too deep in wrong habits. Your depravity inwardly is not too bad. For God, Christ came so deep, there is none that can say my sins are too big. Oh, I'm too deep in sin. You see how deep Christ came, how low, to save sinners by grace alone. Why would it not be possible for you to be saved by this Savior? Yeah, God knows what you need. And by nature we fight against it. We are like Naaman, we don't like it that way. But God knows what you need. And how long is God already busy in your life to break your pride, to humble you? Oh, when will the day be that you stop fighting against the Lord? And that you see that all hope is cut off from your side, and that Christ should be your only hope and your firm hope, that you will not be disappointed if you hope in him. They find the babe lying in a manger. So shepherds come, those people that are despised, and they find Christ, who was willing to come so low that he was laying in a manger. I was thinking about that, how Christ came in this world, how Christ lived in this world. I'm pretty sure we do not see that so deep as it really was. How he came in a dark world. How he came in a world that rejected him, despised him. Oh, do we really comprehend what it means to the Lord Jesus to come to his people and to be rejected by his people? To be despised? To be hated? That they tried to trap him in his words? And he knew it all. He has experienced it. He has felt it. He was willing to live such a life in this world. But the Lord Jesus said, well, that they've hated him, and they will hate those that follow him. And that time might be more near than we probably can see now. If we think about what happens in this world, yeah, we see that more and more people say, well, there's danger in religion. See what Muslims do in this world. How they kill other people. Now you know what happens, at least I hear it happens in the Netherlands. I don't know exactly about how it is here. There are people, what they do is they take a text verse from scripture and they put it somewhere on the modern media and they ask people, where do you think it comes from? And they take it from the Old Testament, they take it out of context, and it is about something that happened with violence. And then people would say, well, that might come from the Quran. They say, no, that's from the Bible. So some people really try to show or to say, which is not true, that Christianity is also a thing that is dangerous. And that we should be careful about it. So what we can see to happen in the future is that there will be an enmity against religion. It might start with Islam, but there it will not stop. It will continue to Christianity. And that now it can be that we in this country have grown up in a situation that we are, as Christians, pretty much respected. Because America has been, like the Netherlands, a country with a lot of Christianity. That is going to change. So like most Christians in this world experience that to be a Christian means to belong to a group of people that are despised, that are looked down upon, that are seen as dangerous, seen as a threat for the nation, like Christ was seen by the religious leaders in his days. Yeah, like those shepherds were despised. And oh, we see, I think we can say, we see a lot of Christians that confess at least that they are Christians. But that you really cannot see that their heart is involved like it should be. And now when this is going to happen, when we as Christians will be despised, will be persecuted, will be hated. Oh, my hope is that it will be used by the Lord in such a way that we see more of Christ, that it will be seen more in this world what it means to live a life in sweet communion with Christ. Isn't that what many times happens when people reject you? That in that situation, the comfort of God and of Christ is experienced in the hearts of people. When David says in Psalm 27 that his father and his mother had forsaken him, but then he says, but the Lord has accepted me, received me. Isn't that many times the fruit? I really pray that if this situation is coming, like it seems to be, that it might be a situation that all the separation amongst Christians might be healed, and that there will be seen in this dark world what it really means to receive the power of Christ in your heart. That it really will be seen what Paul says, I can do all things by Christ who's strengthening me. So that God will receive the glory and that people will say, yeah, we don't like them. We really hate them, but there is something. And God will use it in this world. It will be like Christ in a manger. Christians in a low position, despised. But people will come and see that there is something. God will use it to work faith in the hearts, to bring them to this Savior. Are you ready to suffer for Christ? You say, I tremble when I think about it. I tremble when I think about it. I understand, that's good, when we see our own weakness. Oh, that you would see the power of Christ. And that you would Know that in suffering you will see more the love of Christ and experience it in your heart. And you see what happens here while Christ is laying in a manger. That isn't a hindrance for the shepherds. No, they see in him the promised Savior according to the word that they have received from the angels. That is what faith does. Faith is such a powerful work of God in the heart of people that it is in a certain way not possible that it can be stopped. It's the irresistible work of the Spirit overcoming all hindrances inwardly and outwardly, because it's God's work. And so that Christ is here in a most poor situation, that does not stop the shepherds from seeing that he is the one that was promised throughout the ages to be the Savior that is sent by God into this world. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 319, stanza 1 till 5. 319, stanza 1. Give thanks and praise to God above, for everlasting is his love. 319, stanza 1 till 5. Congregation, what a wonderful thought if you think about this. Here is the bread of heaven, given by God, laying in a manger. Here is Christ. Oh, the bread for my soul. Otherwise my soul will die. But laying in a manger. And isn't that how we receive the gospel? Proclaimed and revealed to us in the Word of God, in the Bible, proclaimed in the preaching of the Word, which is a thing that is despised in the world, seen as foolish. And you can feel also about it. It can be that you have those times that you think, well, as a young person, well, I'm not interested in it. It's not attracting me. I don't like to read my Bible. I don't like to go to church to listen to a sermon. I know other things that give me delight and joy. Yeah. Christ laying in a manger. And only faith made it that it was seen by the shepherds, so that they gave glory to him, and that they start to tell, to make known abroad this wonderful thing that they had heard and seen. So that's what you need. You need the word, but you also need to come haste to see. So then, yeah, when you come to Christ, there's something happening. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the Father drawing you. And then your heart and your inward life, it's changing. Peter says the word is a seed of regeneration. So then that is the moment that spiritual life is worked in your heart. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. It's like foolishness to him. Christ, the cross, is that a fountain of joy and peace and love? And the Word, the Bible, it's difficult to me, and it's not speaking to my heart many times. It's so different from the things that I like to see and to enjoy. Yeah, I understand. It's like what John is writing in his letters. In the first letter, chapter 2, he says, well, you know what it is about in this world? It's about the lust of the flesh. It's about the lust of the eyes. It's about the pride of life. Well, that's what connects to our natural heart. That's what my flesh likes to enjoy. My eyes want to see. And which is giving pride in my heart. Oh yeah, that's what I seek by nature. Now here is a child laying in a manger. So low, so humble, could say so simple. Just a human child. Nothing special, but so special for the shepherd. So special for the eyes of faith. The word becomes so precious when we find Christ in it and the proclamation of the word. When we see him in his beauty, when we receive those riches of forgiveness of my sins, of hope, of eternal life, of peace with God, that burden away from my conscience and my heart, and to see light in Christ where darkness was before, to get my heart satisfied that was so hopeless, empty before. Oh, what a wonderful word it is. What a wonderful child it is that is shown to them. It's faith that is seeing it. It's received by faith. You know that? You understand that? So maybe you say, well, but yeah, if I don't have faith, well, then, yeah, then what can I do? Well, you know how faith is worked by the Spirit. It is by the Word of God and by the preaching of the Word. It's in the Word that God is making Himself known. Yeah, maybe you say, but I'm dead in sin. So, yeah, well, you know how that is changing? What does Christ say in John 5? Dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear, they shall live. So it's a life-giving work. It's a word that has a godly power in it. And God, in His sovereign grace, is using this word to make a dead sinner alive, so that he will rise from the grave of sin and guilt and see the light of Christ and see the fullness of His work. So, yeah, you have to read the Word. You have to pray for the Spirit. You have to seek Him where He is to be found. There, in that manger, in that low place, despised by the world, but used by God. And when that happens, you know, those shepherds, they cannot be silent. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad a saying which was told them concerning this child. How could they be silent, where their heart was full? Yeah, but people didn't like them so much. Well, that doesn't matter. They have to speak. They have to tell out of the fullness of their heart what was told to them and what they had seen. They made known abroad. So, you could say over a wide area, everywhere where they could, they would tell. Yeah, but what would people think about it? Well, and all they had heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I do not see that they heard it. I do not read that they heard it and that they would go also. So, that is sad. If you tell those things about Christ, and people just go on with their own life. Isn't that discouraging? Well, if you see the glory of God, if you see the need of souls, then you have to tell it. Oh, there are times in my life that I can say with Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And for me, it's the best to be with Christ. But if I think about all those souls in this world that are in darkness, all those that do not know this Savior, I sometimes think I would like to have another life, to be used by the Lord, to proclaim this message of grace for sinners, of salvation by Christ, by faith alone, of the justification of the ungodly. Do you see it? How much this is needed in this world? Do you think about all those souls in darkness? Oh, there are still tribes in this world that do not have the word of God. Pray for it. That we might be used in any way to donate, or in any way that they will receive this word, they need it, so that their souls will be saved. Do you pray for the mission work? Do you pray that God will send those to labor in His vineyard so that souls will be saved? Oh, we are so privileged that we know this word, that we know this message, that we have several Bibles in our house, in our own language, and that we have the proclamation of the word, that we can listen to sermons as much as we want, that we have commentaries and books, that we have education and seminars, and that we have everything, that we have pastors, that we... Oh, what a privilege we have. I remember that man in Africa, he said, you people in Europe, you have everything. You have the money and you have the word of God. And we here, we have nothing. And oh, if that would be despised by us, if we might wonder about what we have heard, like these people, they wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds, and just go on with our own life, then all those things, all those benefits that we have received, all those privileges that we have received, will testify against us for all eternity. That is so bad. I really tremble when I think about that. Oh, that we might be like Mary. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Isn't that what God is blessing? When we keep the word that we received in our heart, and then we ponder it, we meditate upon it, we think about it, we pray about it, and I guarantee, when you do that, when you use the word in such a way, it becomes precious for your soul. It might be hard at the beginning to be concentrated in reading it, but oh, when God will bless it, you will find more and more of the riches of Christ and of grace in the word. And there will be a time that you will say, I can do without all things, not without a word, and not without the work of the Spirit in my heart. That is, for me, the most important thing. Those shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. What a joy in their hearts. They had to sing about it. When you have seen Christ, oh, you will rejoice in Him. You will sing here. But here it's not perfect. But you will sing in eternity without any sin, to give the glory to the Lamb of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that people wondered and might have looked at them like, what strange things do they tell? They didn't stop the glory and joy in the hearts. No. If you have seen Christ like He is, then all other things are less important. Then your heart will be full. Oh, that you would agree with these lines that I saw somewhere. In Swedling Bands, the Savior view, let none His weakness scorn, the feeblest heart shall hell subdue, where Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, Thou art born in this dark world as the light of the world, and that light has to shine in our hearts so that the attraction of sin will be broken, that we will see how dark this world is compared to the light of Christ. O Lord, we pray for that Spirit to work that faith in our hearts and be with us this day. And Lord, that Thou would give us that the word will be in our hearts, pondering, meditating upon the word. Lord, and that we will receive that full and rich blessing out of Christ. Be with us when we might meet with relatives, families, Lord, that we have a good time, and we thank thee that thou hast kept safe in traveling, O Lord. It's thy mercy and it's thy grace. And Lord, that we will see that this life is like a journey. It is short. Also that we would come with haste to find this child and to find real joy in him, real deliverance, forgiving, for remission of our sins, O Lord, that thou would work by thy Spirit in all hearts, that none of us will stay behind, but that we all will be drawn by the Father to the Son to find in him what we need for our soul for eternity, so that we will give the glory to this triune God. Lord, we thank thee for this message of Christmas, and Lord, bless it. Be with us when we go home. Protect us. Keep us from sin. And, O Lord, from the attacks of Satan. And that Christ will be our refuge every day. We pray in his name. Amen.